Hello, and welcome to the Lessons Unlocked podcast. I'm your host, Colleen McCracken. I've been looking for ways to increase music education accessibility, and I believe that this podcast can make a difference. The Lessons Unlocked podcast uses a virtual platform to engage with student musicians through masterclass-style instruction. Students may submit a recording of their playing for in-depth feedback to be shared with all listeners. This way, students who submit can get feedback, and any other student with access to the podcast can learn from the masterclass. There's also a Q&A section to the podcast, so please submit any questions that come up for you. Our name to know this week is Allison Loggins Hull. Celebrated as a musical powerhouse, Allison Loggins Hull is a composer, flutist, and producer whose work defies genre from symphonic music to film scores, chamber, and electronic music. Her signature style of composing for orchestra is characterized by unique sonic effects that echo contemporary music production techniques. Her works are profoundly influenced by Black American music, creating a vibrant and kaleidoscopic sonic palette. Thematically, her compositions are deeply rooted in the experience of community, culture, and life, offering a rich and evocative musical narrative. Her artistic reflections on Black stories, music, and experience have led to works aligned with Afrofuturism, a movement that imagines alternate realities and a liberated future viewed through the lens of Black cultures. Loggins Hull co-founded the groundbreaking duo Flutronics and has performed as an accompanist to major pop acts including Lizzo and Frank Ocean. She's performed on multiple blockbuster film scores and composed the score for Bring Them Back, an award-winning documentary executive produced by Debbie Allen about the legendary dancer Maurice Hines. In 2023, she even led an ensemble of flutists at the Met Gala, backing a performance by Lizzo. For more on Allison Loggins Hull, check out her website. The link will be in the description. This week's piece of the week is Homeland by Allison Loggins Hull. I'm going to read Loggins Hull's program notes that she wrote about this piece and the process of writing it. So, quote, Homeland was written shortly after Hurricane Maria stormed through Puerto Rico in 2017. Maria represented the increasing strength of natural disasters and the intense, sometimes deadly repercussions of climate change. While this was going on, there was also a rise of political and social turmoil in the United States and global unrest throughout the world, including the civil war crisis in Syria. For weeks, the news was flooded with these stories. With so many people throughout the world dealing with tragic domestic issues, I began to think about the meaning of home during a crisis. What does home mean when the land has been destroyed? What does it mean when there has been a political disaster or a human disaster? How does a person feel patriotic when they feel unwelcomed at the same time? Homeland is a musical interpretation and exploration of those questions. The flute opens with tambural trills representing troubled waters, then transitions into passages that are anxious and distorted. There's a moment of hope and optimism, a remembrance of past struggles that have been overcome, followed by an off-putting play of the Star-Spangled Banner, representing an unraveling of patriotism. In the end, we come full circle, still with unanswered and unresolved questions. End quote. Our organization highlight this week is Through the Staff. This is an incredible organization dedicated to music education accessibility, just like this podcast. And what they do is they offer free online lessons for, I'm pretty sure, just about every instrument you can think of. The student application is pretty easy. As long as you're a young musician between second grade and 12th grade, you will qualify. And if you're a musician older than that, I would recommend considering filling out a teacher application. You can donate your time to support accessibility in music education. I will include the link to their website, but I do want to just add a little quote of what they say on their website. We believe that every child should have the right to access free, consistent music education. By breaking down the systemic barriers in the music education field that block young musicians from accessing musical resources, we are working to make that vision a reality. Iconic. We love to see it. And if you have money, I'm sure they accept donations. Seems like really just a great organization. All right. So for our masterclass part of the podcast, we actually have two performers. And we're going to get started with Jordan from North Carolina. Jordan from North Carolina is bringing us an Altez Etude, Etude number one. Take it away, Jordan. All right, really good work on this, Jordan. This is a good etude in that it's challenging, right? That's the point of etudes. So for our friends following along and listening along, an etude is the French word for study. So these short pieces called etudes are aimed toward being a tool for improving your musical ability rather than a piece written for the composer or the performer's musical expression. But there's always musical expression as part of the etude. It should not just be a technical excerpt. Sometimes the etude, the study itself, is the musical expression. So etudes are very interesting to me, and I think writing them is such a challenge because you have to make it music. At the end of the day, it still has to be music, but it has to be kind of a workout. And, you know, it's the deadlifts of playing the flute is doing your etudes. So I'm glad that we have etudes today. Yay. Okay. So we are going to listen back through and I will give comments as we go. Okay, I paused that at like 9 seconds in. My first thought is that we need to add a little bit more vibrato to what we're doing, and we need a deeper core to the sound. It sounds a little, I don't know if maybe you're too rolled out. Maybe you could roll in a hair and see if that helps. Maybe it's a blowing more air. Maybe blowing more air could be the solution there. But regardless of what's going to give us a deeper core to the sound, that's something that is really hard to get across in recordings. Vibrato can add a lot to this opening section. So if we really have a da 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 da, especially adding a little bit of vibrato on that high, looks like a high A flat. Our high register is not super pleasant to the human ear if it doesn't have vibrato. It just sounds like a really high note on the flute. But if we add vibrato, it sounds like music. So add vibrato to, I mean, as we go along, you have a lot of these dee, da da dee, da da dee. You'll want to add vibrato to all of those. Just a hair, just a couple rounds of it. But I think it'll make a big difference in the sound and the, it's a small detail that will make a very large impact on the audience. Okay, so in measures 3 and 4, I would do more of a writ and I would breathe before the A flat that precedes the G trill. So D, 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 B, because I think breathing before we have those grace notes up to the high E flat, I think it kills the vibe a little bit. So I would breathe before that A flat to prevent needing to breathe between the G and those grace notes. And if you breathe before the A flat and you still find yourself needing to breathe after the G, then we need to do some flute lung workouts, which a good one is if you have like a walking pad just to play the flute while you're walking on your walking pad, you can do some jumping jacks and then try to play your flute. What this is, it's resistance training, right? So you do something that is intentionally really difficult and then over time it will become less difficult. So do jumping jacks, then try to play this solo. And then eventually when you play the solo without doing the jumping jacks, it's going to feel so much easier. You're not going to need to breathe as much as you were before. Resistance training, super great. Pausing to say, I love what you're doing with your trills. They're very stylish. It's not just a ba-da-da-da-da. You're adding musicality in the trill. So I want to shout that out. That's awesome. Thank you. I appreciate how you're interpreting the breath marks. I think you're giving a little more space than is maybe warranted in this case. You're giving almost a full triplet off to breathe. So we have da da dee da 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 dee da da da, and you're almost da da dee da 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 dee da da da. Do you hear the difference? It's just enough time where we kind of lose the flow of the music and where it's going. So I think if you, and I'm not saying that you have to breathe perfectly in time for this, it's a solo etude. But I think aiming to just be a little bit quicker in those breaths is going to keep the flow of the piece moving. Okay, I love this part of the etude. I think in those higher notes that's the phrase, right? That's what we're wanting to hear. So make sure that we're bringing out the upper notes and we're not bringing out the lower notes. It sounds right now that there's more of an emphasis on those lower notes, the repeated bum 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 bum. Not super interesting, right? But the b b b b b b b, that's something that we want to bring out, right? Because it's the moving line. So give a little more length, volume, and vibrato on those higher notes to help achieve that sort of distinction of, okay, audience, here's the line, rather than dee da da dee da da dee da da dee. We have some accents. I hear that you're attempting to accent the note. I don't hear a significant difference though. So I appreciate that I can hear the attempt on a recording. That's really good. But it's not coming across to the extent that I think you're capable of achieving. And there are a few different ways to bring out the accents. In this case, I would play shorter in the measures with those accents, dee da da dee da da dee da da da, rather than dee da da dee da da dee, you know, because it makes everything a little bit heavy. So if we shorten things up, when we make the one note heavier for the accent, it's going to show more to the audience. So on your high note, I'm not hearing enough air. I think you need to blow more air on that high note. And I think there are a few different ways to think about achieving that. One way is, I had a teacher who would always say, like, imagine you're a tree and your feet are the roots. And what she was achieving with that was getting me to focus on my lower body. And if you focus on your lower body, it's going to help you disengage the tension in your upper body. So I would give that a try, give that visual a try, and see if that helps you with creating a less kind of pinched high register. If you're focused on keeping everything open and low, you'll get more air out and it'll come out less pinched. I think right now it's just a little bit, I don't want to say it's shrill because shrill has such a bad connotation, but it's not this like deep tone with a beautiful core that I know you can achieve. So try thinking low air, I'm a tree. Another one is to imagine an inner tube around your abdomen. That's another way to kind of draw attention to the lower part of your body. So give that a go, see if it works. Pausing to give a moment of appreciation to the drama that you've created in the section. Excellent. Love it. we just had a moment where we could have had a really nice dynamic contrast and we didn't. I think you were focusing on the notes rather than the dynamics, and we kind of lost that. So we have that mezzo forte crescendo to a forte over two bars coming from these subito fortes on these high notes, and then just a regular forte, breath, mezzo forte. I think we need a bigger difference there. I would almost picture it as like a mezzo piano, to be honest, to create enough of a difference to where the audience is going to hear it. Because if you're just thinking forte to mezzo forte, like conceptually, that feels like a very small difference. So I would cross that out and write in MP, and then have that crescendoed from MP to a forte. Okay, I'm gonna say I don't think you should breathe where you just breathed. In 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth line down at the end of the first measure, I would breathe before the D flat. D da da D da da D da 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 D da da D. Because breathe, I think you breathed on the bar line. I wouldn't do that because it's killing the flow a little bit, and we want to preserve that flow. So generally in this piece, I would not breathe on the bar lines because the flow tends to happen through the bar lines. Our main opportunities are right before or right after the bar line. Pausing to say, I think you can do even more with that writ. So the final two lines of the piece, ba da dee da da dee da da dee da da. What I writ there, so that breath mark confuses me because I really don't agree with it. So I wonder if that was written by Altez or if that's an editor's note. You didn't breathe there, slay for you. I wouldn't breathe there either. But it does warrant the question, should we start the writ sooner to create some kind of effect there so that a pause makes sense? Something to consider, not necessarily something to do. And then where the writ is actually written, I think we can do a lot more, really dramatic. And the more slow and dramatic your writ is, the less fast the final line needs to be in order for a big contrast to be shown, right? So if we're really don, 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 dean, don, don, ducka, 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 you know what I mean? That's going to be more effective and it's going to be a little more bang for your buck. All right. Really good work on this, Jordan. This is a difficult etude. Yay for you for doing etudes. So many people don't even do them. So I think they are so important to do regularly, like do a weekly etude. So this is great. I hope my comments were helpful to you. I know that etudes are something that we kind of work on and then we let go. So maybe just apply these in in a couple practice sessions and then move on to the next etude, and just think about some of the things I said for the next one. And you'll just keep growing as a musician, and your technique will continue to grow along with your musicianship. So thank you so much. Everyone, wherever you are, unless you're driving, give a round of applause to Jordan. Yay. All right. Our second performer today is Riley from Texas. Riley will be playing an excerpt from Don John's Elegy Etude in E minor. Riley, take it away. Thank you so much for sending that in, Riley. That is an excellent performance. You sound incredible. Your tone is gorgeous. Your intonation is great. Your approach to this etude is really good. So you've done a lot of really solid work, and that's very evident. And now we're going to go through and break it down a little bit. This, for our friends who aren't familiar with Texas All Region, All State, this is one of the audition pieces. So I'm going to be coming at this from an approach of listening as if I were one of the judges for All Region, All District, whatever. The name varies by state. But I'm going to be approaching it as if I were a judge, and what I think the judges will be listening for. So, all right, let's get started. Again, you sound incredible. This is so, so good. So what I'm going to be doing is nitpicking the way that a judge might, because when you have a ton of really talented, hardworking flutists, it comes down to these minute details. So the first thing, obviously dynamics are hard to get across over recordings. They're much easier to hear live. So if you feel like what I'm saying is just a recording thing, toss it out the window and just focus on what you know. But I think you can get even softer. It's pianissimo at the beginning for our friends following along. And I actually struggle a little bit with the fact that it's pianissimo, because it's something that I want to play loud, right? So maybe part of that style is impacting your interpretation a little bit. But I think you're doing a nice job of keeping it in a pianissimo style. But I think you can get it even softer. You sound just absolutely fantastic. One thing I'm noticing is with your breaths, they're pretty audible, and that's not something to necessarily worry about from like a judging perspective. It'd be crazy if they knocked you off for that. That would be ridiculous. They're not going to do that. But I'm wondering if you have some tension in the throat. Just based on the sound of your breathing, it sounds like you have a little bit of tension. That's just something to be aware of. If you're playing and sometimes a little throat noise happens, if this is something that happens to you, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, then this is not happening to you. But for our listeners following along, sometimes when we have some tension in the throat, we get this little like a tiny vocalization type noise of just like while we're playing. And it can be frustrating because we don't necessarily, first of all, we're not doing it on purpose and we're not really sure what's causing it. So if that is something that has come up in your playing before, try singing and playing. It helps to relax the throat. And you can also just think about visualizing tension lower in your body. So places like visualize your air coming from your legs. That type of thing can really help redirect where we're putting tension in our body and take it away from the throat. So again, it doesn't sound like you're constricting in your playing, but just since I'm hearing something in your breaths, I want to address that just in case. All right, let's keep going. Thank you. Nice. Add just a bit more vibrato on that final note for me, and it's gonna, because that's a cadence, right? So we want to hear that, and we need it to feel a little bit more final, even though the piece does continue on after that. This is just the first few lines. It's still a cadence, right? We're in E minor, and that's an E, so it's gonna feel kind of final. This is just so good. Let me give you some advice for the actual audition process, and for anyone who's going through all region, all district, the Music Educators Association auditions of your state. So I'm originally from Illinois. So we did ILMEA, Illinois Music Educators Association. And I think it's a little bit different from Texas in that we don't have to hear each other necessarily. I'm under the impression, at least from what I've heard from my Texas friends, that the way it works is you all play your audition in front of each other. That's crazy to me, absolutely mind-boggling. If you're in a state where that doesn't happen, my advice to you is to avoid hearing other people as much as possible. Just because if you're not forced to, why allow yourself the opportunity for comparison, right? And my advice to you, if you are in one of the states such as Texas, where you have to hear each other perform and audition on these excerpts or on these etudes, really, it's going to be a mental battle. That's all the audition's going to be, really. Everyone's going to have put in the work. It's going to be who has the mental tools to push through this incredibly nerve-wracking moment. So I am going to pull out my notes from a performance psychology class that I think may be helpful. All right, so first I want to say there's nothing wrong with experiencing performance anxiety. So if you start shaking, if you're overthinking, if you're sweaty, if you're having these active thoughts of self-doubt while you're playing, none of that is bad. You are not bad for that happening. That's something we all experience it. So our goal is not to eradicate those. It's to manage them, right? I think looking to completely get rid of any symptoms of performance anxiety is a form of perfectionism. And perfectionism is incredibly harmful to us as artists. So we need to go in with confidence, and confidence doesn't mean perfection. Confidence means, okay, I know that my self-esteem is not going to be affected by the outcome of this performance. A really great quote that I heard recently is, I have no control over the judges. Say that to yourself like four times. You have no control. You're powerless. So whatever they do, that's not a reflection of you. You had no control over that. You know what I mean? So you're just going to go out there. You're going to do your best. And your best looks different in different rooms at different times with a different set of circumstances. So it's not that, you know, this one audition will not define you. If it goes well or poorly, I don't know how Texas works, but you know, if you're theoretically like you're first in the state, you're the best in the state, that doesn't mean that you're genuinely the best in the state. You know, it means maybe you were the best that day. Maybe the judges perceived you to be the best of the day. Maybe you outplayed people that day, but maybe they could outplay you under a different set of circumstances. So regardless, we don't want this audition to impact our self-esteem, self-concept. And confidence is something that you can nurture. Something I really recommend is doing a power pose before the audition. It feels stupid when you're doing it, but oh my gosh, is it helpful. I remember I had a youth orchestra audition when I was in high school, and I was so nervous, and I did my power pose, and during my power pose, I sang the song I Have Confidence from The Sound of Music, and I felt like a total dork, but it helped because I was saying that I had confidence, and saying it means that your brain had to hear it. So automatically you're getting a little bit in there, right? And another thing with what your brain hears, don't talk poorly about yourself, because your brain, even if you're joking, if you're like, ah, ha, ha, I'm so bad, your brain doesn't know that you're joking. Your subconscious doesn't know that you're joking. Don't joke about that. That's not funny. Come up with something more creative. You're good. You're probably smart. I'm sure you can come up with something. You being not just Riley, you being anybody who's listening to this. So avoid self-deprecating jokes. Do verbalize positive thoughts. And if you can't come up with any thoughts on your own, do the I Have Confidence song from The Sound of Music. Perfect. I have confidence in sunshine. I have confidence in rain. Yeah, period. You know what? Yeah, Julie Andrews, eat it up. Another thing I want to talk about for auditions is activation management. So what do I mean by that? Activation, one way to view that is like how energized, how in your body, how, I don't want to say anxious, but you know, when your heart's racing really fast, that's activation. And that can be caused by anxiety. So they can go hand in hand. Our goal is to not avoid activation, but to be able to manage whatever level we're at. So how do we do that? Resistance training. We're going to want to play this for so many people before you get to the actual audition. Play it for someone you really, really respect. Play it for someone you don't get along with, someone who's mean to you, someone who you're like, please, dear God, I want to avoid them. Play for them. Because that is going to go a lot worse than your actual audition is going to go, because you're going to be having all those non-productive thoughts if for playing for someone you really don't get along with, and you're going to experience playing anyway. So then when you're in that big room full of your peers, you're going to know, you're already going to know that you can do this. Another tool is attention redirection. So that can be, it can be hard to be, you know, if you're just telling yourself like, don't get in your head, don't think about what they're thinking, then all you're going to do is keep thinking about what they're thinking and getting in your head. Actively come up with something else to think about. Psychology loves this example of a pink elephant. Don't think of a pink elephant. Now all you can think about is a pink elephant. So maybe write at the top of your music to picture a waterfall or something. And then boom, your mind is already out of this potential performance anxiety spiral. I also want to give you one last tool that might be helpful. This is called cyclic sighing. It's a breathing technique that can help with, it can help manage a racing heart if that's something that you experience pre-performance. So you start by inhaling for 3 counts, filling your lungs only halfway, pause for a moment, and then inhale another 3 counts, fully filling the lungs, but not to the point of discomfort. And then exhale for 12 counts, slowly, slowly releasing over those 12 counts. And if you do that for just 5 minutes a day, psychological benefits have been proven to be shown. I don't have the study on me that proves that, but I have trust in my professor that study is valid. You are more than welcome to go find that study and prove me wrong, though. All right, so I just dumped a ton of information. I hope some of it's helpful. Don't feel like you need to incorporate all of that into the next audition. That can be overwhelming. Maybe pick one thing and see how it goes. See if it's helpful at all for you. Thank you again to Riley for sending in this recording. You sound wonderful, and I wish you the best of luck. I'm here for you guys if you ever have any questions about the flute, music education. Please send in a question or multiple questions into the podcast. You can find the link to do so on our website, on our Instagram, and on my personal Instagram, which is Colleen Mack underscore CollenMac_. Our website is lessonsunlockedpodcast.com and our Instagram is lessonsunlockedpodcast. So if you have any questions, please go ahead and submit them. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Lessons Unlocked podcast. Huge thanks to our two performers of the day, Jordan from North Carolina and Riley from Texas. And thank you to all of you for continuing to be a part of this community. As always, thank you to all of our music educators. As you head out into your week, I encourage you to listen to Homeland by Allison Loggins Hole. Happy practicing and bye for now.